Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home. From the kid from Queens, call it Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's
Mike Daly.
He rolls down his window when he started to say smooth. It's all about making that kick-ass trade.
Cause the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Thank you, Kevin. Joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show, the general manager of the Texas Rangers, the great John Daniels. JD, how you doing today, brother?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. We're getting kind of sad because we think tomorrow it's very possible that it's the last home game for Dirk. And sorry to start you out with a little Dirk talk, but it's what's on our minds and what's in our hearts right now. And I'm just curious about your take running a team in this town that is not the Mavericks, but what do you make of Dirk, who he is, what his career has been?
I think as a real team executives, as a fan, seems like one of the more unique relationships between a player and just about any sport at his hometown, or his home, obviously from Germany, but where he's playing. Unique relationship with the organization, that chance to go other places, seems to have taken discounts, lives in the community, out in the community, embraces it, recruiting for the, other players to come in there. Only had a chance to get around him really one time. He and some of the Mavs trainers came and spent a game with us in the suite probably about 3 or 4 years ago, and just kind of as advertised, super down to earth. Enjoys sports, enjoys just kind of small talk. And just really for a superstar guy, was really easy to talk to, which I think is one of the biggest compliments you can give anybody. And pretty unique to have seen for the city of Dallas, the Metroplex, has seen his career start to finish. You just don't get that in just about any sport. And then for him to spend the off season stuff here too, pretty unique, man.
He's almost like the musician that truly didn't want to be famous or be a rock star, just wanted to do his art, I mean, the athletes get famous and so much is asked of him and stuff, but I really think he genuinely would not care one bit if nobody knew who he was other than just as a basketball player. That, I mean, you really don't see that often.
But it's a lot of times guys like that you're describing, almost like a social anxiety when they're out in public, mm-hmm. or when they're in the spotlight. And I don't know Dirk personally, but it doesn't seem like that. He seems like he's, despite not looking for the spotlight, he seems very comfortable in it. Seems very comfortable being himself, very genuine. I guess he's the same guy in front of the camera as off of it, which is hard to come by.
Yeah, no, incredible. Anyways, we're just super caught up in all that, but we're also caught up in Rangers baseball. Obviously, a fantastic start to the season. You guys ran into a bit of a buzzsaw in L.A., and are you even allowed to comment on Mike Trout, or since he's on another team, or can you even be complimentary to him? Are you allowed to talk about Mike Trout?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, talking to some of our guys after the game yesterday, the position players, and they were just remarking how that you just never see him off balance. Forget about taking a bad swing, even on on a take where he never looks unsure at all. And I think Nomar was saying yesterday that the only one time I've ever seen him even remotely uncomfortable and in a bat, and that was against Leclerc last year, where he said Leclerc kind of locked him up. And he's never off balance. He never looks out of sorts, and he makes hard contact literally every time he swings the bat. It's you know, early 2000s Barry Bonds right now. Where, like, there's really no way around it.
Yeah, in scouting, you never really can scout a guy. Like, we've talked about this with Dirk, for example. You know, Donnie knew he was going to be a great player. He didn't know he was going to be sixth all-time leading scorer in NBA history. You can't really predict those sorts of things. But I'm curious, you know, what your thoughts were on him when he was just an up-and-coming guy and then when you sort of knew that he was special.
Yeah, so, you know, we've gone, I mean, you always do this, right? You go back and look at what you had on amateurs, and Chip and I have talked about it a bunch on Trout. I think one of the things that probably, you know, fooled some of the clubs, like, he was physically, you know, he's just like physically built differently than everybody else. And so I think in high school, it's almost a, you know, you see somebody like that maxed out, like physical, you know, you almost kind of wonder, like, where does it go from here?
Right.
You know, like, how athletic is he going to stay? And is he going to get too bulky, too big? And obviously just, like, built so uniquely where, like, despite the bulk and the size, his body moves so effortlessly. And so I think that's probably where ultimately we missed. And, you know, the other teams that passed on him missed are, like, you just didn't necessarily see that the speed, athleticism, the twitch, the looseness of the body was going to stay there. That first, unfortunately, like, we realized it pretty quick. I remember that a report from Instruction League that year, because they had taken Randall Grichuk and him with their two picks there, and both guys looked really good in Instruction League. But I remember our coaching staff, our scouts that saw him were just like, this guy's, you know,
yeah.
He basically never skipped a beat after that.
We're talking to John Daniels on his weekly show here on the Men and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. All right, let's talk about Edison Volquez. Obviously, it looks to be bad, but obviously we're not sure at this point. What's the latest on Edison Volquez and his injury?
So he's going to go back. He's with the team now in Arizona, and he'll go back to Dallas with us after this trip, and I'll see Dr. Meitzer at the end of the week, kind of get another some more diagnostics. But initial reports don't seem real encouraging. I think if barring Dr. Meitzer, you know, making a different determination, you know, it doesn't look great. And I give him a lot of credit. His attitude is so good. Yesterday, just, you know, I mean, he literally, like, he feels bad, you know. It's like we all feel bad for him. He feels bad for, like, us in the club, and he has a real appreciation for, you know, this is where his career started with the organization. But he was talking yesterday, like, hey, if I can't pitch, like, you know, I want to contribute in other ways. I want to travel with the team. I want to help LeClerc. I want to help, you know, the other young pitchers in the system. Just a unique perspective. He's come, like, full circle, you know, where he was kind of the big prospect, a little bit kind of like wild stallion type, you know, some like kind of disciplinary type stuff. Not bad, but just, you know, he wanted to be himself, and then he was talking about he had his daughters, and he really settled down. It kind of gave him some perspective, and he realized that, you know, the coach and the organization were trying to help him and not hold him back, and I think he wants to be able to pay that forward a little bit right now. We'll see. You know, obviously that first comes first. Hopefully we get good news on the arm, but to be honest, it did not sound great based on the initial reports.
Talking to John Daniels here on the Ben and Skin Show, not to make this like injury fest, but I'm curious, you know, what your take is on what needs to happen at first base with Guzman being out for what seems like, are we thinking 3 to 4 weeks here, John?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, hopefully under a month. What wasn't one of the, you know, a real bad hamstring, but there's no getting around them. You tweak a hamstring, you're out for a little while. So I think we called up Patrick Wisdom, and he'll get some time over there. Forsythe's played well, swinging the bat well, so he'll play over there a bunch. And I think what we could use is when there's more faith in a lefty, I would expect Wisdom to be in there, but Forsythe maybe as well, whether that's to give one of the other left-hand hitters a rest. Kind of, he can still move around the infield a little bit.
And the idea, even though Joey can play first at a very high level, is not to jerk him around and move him around to a bunch of different positions every time there's an injury just because he's versatile? Or is that kind of the thought process?
Yeah. You know, Joey, Woody talked to Joey the other day, and Joey was, you know, took a really good at, hey, whatever you guys need, whatever's best for the team, just let me know. I mean, as we looked at it, like, one, I appreciate that from Joey, that he was, you know, he's game to do whatever. what he felt, and ultimately I agree that there are a few things more important to the team this year than Joey's kind of development as a real consistent middle of the order threat. I mean, obviously he's been a threat since the day he started pro ball, but just the consistency of his at bat, the way he's shrinking the zone, and he looks so good right now. We just felt like, nothing is really, there's not a whole lot of like individual items that are higher on our priority list than that one. And so we felt like, let's leave him where he's at in the outfield, not introduce, a whole bunch of first base work and any sort of different elements and risk, even the small risk that it could derail where he's at offensively at all.
Okay, and John, you guys start a quickie out in Arizona, and I'd forgot about this until KT brought it up. Are you monitoring what's going on with the turf there? Aren't you guys laying a similar thing out here in Arlington? And what have you heard so far? Is this going to be your first kind of look at what's going on out there?
Yeah, we've had guys go visit a couple times in spring training. Jamie Reed and Paul Kruger and actually Ray Davis and Neil Liebman went over there in spring training to kind of check it out. A number of us will be there this week. The ownership's coming in for it. And to kind of check it out. What we've heard so far is pretty positive. Now we just got to, we kind of lay our eyes out. There's a couple of elements that, we're still not 100% decided on, so we want to see it in action, like, the warning track and irrigation, how you add water to it. They still have some of their sprinkler heads. Do we do that, or do we do a different, application system? The subsurface. So there's still a few things we need to decide when we install it, but for the most part, it's going to be a very similar system. So we want to see how it plays and then get immediate feedback from our players on how it feels.
JD, obviously on the heels of the Edison Volquez injury and not really knowing how serious that is at this point, there is a pretty big name starting pitcher who is a free agent right now who's available. Will there be, in the event that Edison or any of your pitchers end up being in a situation where they are out for the year, would you guys consider any of the bigger name free agents that are still out there available? And we're just curious why or why not?
Yeah, I think we consider anything. One of the challenges that first of all, we have been looking more for depth in general, whether that's small trades or even some of the other free agents that are still out there that can maybe not guys that can provide some depth. We lost Hamill. He retired. That was unforeseen. Volpe may be out here. Mendez and Farrell were kind of depth starters. So, we've kind of lost that a little bit of layer of depth. And while none of them were true aces, that level of depth to get through a season and protect some of the young guys is important. So that's where our focus has been, trying to replace that. As far as you're referencing Keuchel, Kimbrel, one of the kind of unusual circumstances with us there is we traded Alex Claudio for a first-round draft pick, and the way the rules work, if we were to sign a compensation free agent at this point or a guy that got a qualifying offer, we'd have to give up that draft pick. So, it's a little bit of an added factor for us that we're hesitant on.
And, John, finally, before we let you go, how closely attuned are you to the celebrations that Joey Gallo and Nomar Mazara have when something goes well?
John Blake was like, hey, heads up, they may ask you about this.
He knows us too well.
I haven't seen it. I heard about it. So I don't know. But I can't really speak for them as to why that's part of their routine, but I'll do a little homework and get back here.
And based on what you've heard about it, do you and Mike Daly have a similar celebration when things go well?
Yeah, after a big minor league game, we love to celebrate like that.
And then finally, if we were to remake your intro, what song might we pattern that after?
Good. Can I get multiple choice?
Yeah.
Some options?
Yeah, you can give us options. What are some of your favorite songs?
Maybe something a little funkier side, Stevie Wonder or something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll give you guys a little like palette to work with.
Okay. I was thinking Paranoid by Sabbath or Unbreak My Heart by Tony Braxton. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
I'd go with Tony Braxton of those two options.
Okay, good.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
All right, there he goes, John Daniels.
John,
that's so great. He referenced John Blake. I think he's vice president of communications for the Rangers, and he handles the PR, and he's kind of
he's an OG too.
He's an OG. He's our boss of the Rangers, and he's really good at what he does. And I love that he had to prepare the general manager. Listen, these idiots are probably going to ask you about this. And he was right.
That's proof that Blake is great at his job.
You are great, John Blake. You are the best. All right. Thank you, JD, for jumping on.